Hey, what's the easiest way to find out what channel the game's on? Sports on What? Subscribe to the Sports on What app and quickly find the channel for every provider, satellite, cable, or streaming. Sports on What knows the channel the game is on, and you can too. Download today.
99.9 KISW. We return to the men's room with Miles and Thrill.
Here's some fun headlines. Connecticut dad dies from rare mosquito-borne virus he caught in his own backyard.
Damn.
First tick infected with a rare illness discovered in Lake County. This is in northern Illinois. You brought that up earlier on the show.
Yay, thanks, ticks, because you don't suck already.
More Washington State egg farm workers are sick with the avian flu.
Yep.
Does that mean if you have eggs that are infected with avian flu, would you ever know? I know they're pasteurized.
I mean, look, right, they're the source, ground zero.
Yeah.
But the good news is, apparently, that you can't pass it person to person, but if you work in that industry, you can get it, obviously, from the chickens.
Oh, okay. All right.
So, yeah, they're not contagious.
So an infected chicken
can give it to you.
But I can't get it from its egg.
I don't know that part. I just can't get it from you. So whether you got it from the chicken or the egg, I would just say, boy, it sucks to be you.
Okay.
But, you know.
And back to McDonald's, Colorado teen fights a kidney failure after eating the quarter pounder from the onions. Our question, infection, disease, or illness, what did you have to deal with? 206-803-ROCK.
A couple of quick texts here. We're talking about fecal transplants. How do you figure out who has good fecal matter? A guy says, my wife actually studied fecal matter transplant. It's not all created equal. Some people have very sought-after bacteria and make good money donating it for transplant. I don't know. It's a money game.
How do you find out you have good bacteria in your poo?
I think that's the thing I'm trying to figure out. Like, if you do good, and I understand they might put you on a registry or a list or something like that, but I don't know if it's a specific test where I say, doc, test my poop, or if it's just part of the regular physical that they give you. I don't know.
Right.
But I'm going to ask my doctor next time. And then the last guy that called, he had a drain after getting whatever the hell he had, the liver abscess.
Yeah.
So a couple of people with drains says, I got a tooth abscess, had the same drain sticking out of my face 6 days in Harborview. Doctor said, of course, if I waited another day before coming in, I'd be dead. Just so you know, whether that's true or not, I believe part of a doctor's paycheck is to tell you that no matter when you showed up at the hospital, you should have done it earlier.
Guess what? So, listener Becky emailed me and she said, I just got back from Africa. Where are you going? What do you need to know? And I was like, hey, here's where I'm going. Zimbabwe, South Africa, Namibia, I believe. And so I said, just tell me what's important. You know, like,
I need to know?
Take an Amazon 12-pack of travel tissues. No toilet paper in public toilets there. They don't sell Kleenex either.
Ooh, okay, good to know.
So if I want to wipe my butt, I need some tissues. See, that is relevant.
How do they not bring that up?
I know, that's what I'm saying. This is the kind of thing I need to know.
Well, you know you need to get shots, but like, look, if they don't have toilet paper, I want to know that.
If I get a case of the runs, which is probably going to happen.
It's
going to
happen.
It's going to happen. That's probably what happened.
You probably can find out Gazelle Burgers give you runs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Infection, disease, or illness. What'd you have to deal with there? 206-803-ROCK.
I mean, there's...
I'm excited about this trip.
I mean, you should be. It's once in a lifetime. Might be the last thing you do, but still.
The worst thing is having the runs in a hot, bad spot.
And that's the thing. Africa ain't going to be chilly. You're going to be out there on safari. You're going to have swamp ass no matter what. Yeah. Having some toilet paper.
I mean, I guess it helps you're going... Oh, no, you're going in the summer.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be...
Right, yes, south of the summertime. Area. Oh, yeah. You're going basically at their summer solstice.
Yep.
That's going to be awesome. Man, oh, man.
Oh, boy.
Hello, Gloria. Welcome to the men's room.
Hi.
Hola.
Okay, so I used to work at a botanic gardens and the greenhouses, and I was helping clear out in the conservatory a philodendron plant, and then I had a reaction to it. That went systemic, and I had all these, like, pussy, I sound kind of gross, these, like, pussy things erupting, like, all over my body.
Erupting?
And then I had to get, yes, like.
So they're just doing it on their own.
Like big-ass whiteheads everywhere?
Oh, yeah, but not, like, whiteheads. They were, like, it looked like somebody had taken, like little lesions all over me, so I had to get, like, steroid shots in the ass. And I was just, like, laid up with, like, bags of, like, frozen peas and corn all over me, just, like, as ice packs.
Was it everywhere on you?
Oh, yeah, but I was only exposed on my arms. It's just that my body reacted so strongly.
But that includes, like, you're downstairs next to the hoo-ha. Like, you still had all this white pussy stuff going on?
No, just on like my torso, my legs, and my arms. So thankfully not down there.
All right. Could you pass that on to somebody if they touched you?
No. Right, it was just my body reacting to the oxalic acid and the sap.
Okay.
So,
like, well, nobody was going to touch you. I mean, look, yeah, man, if you got erupting pustules on your body, yeah. I'm not going in for the hug.
We had the call earlier with a little thing coming out of his stomach. Did you have sex during this?
No.
Okay, I wouldn't think so.
Did it hurt?
I would not have felt like it.
Not feeling your best. Do you feel bad when this is going on, or does it? What did it look worse or feel worse?
It looked worse. I still felt really bad. Like, I was tired and just like feverish, and yeah, I looked like a zombie. It would be great for Halloween.
How long did it take? Like, how long for the reaction to take? Like, before these things started blowing up all over your skin?
I had an initial response that day just on my arm, but I didn't think anything of it. Like, I've had reactions to plants before.
I was going
to
say, do they put a warning label on this plant? I mean, is it just that plant, or is that plant just the one that you are allergic to?
So I was working at this botanic gardens. It's all tropical plants, right? And they have their defenses. Like, mm-hmm. we studied them, and we studied, you know, medicinal uses that they're used for and things like that. So we know that plants have toxins, but I'd never had a reaction to it before. It was just growing up into the canopy of the conservatory where I was working. So it was just a very healthy, happy philodendron. Like, a lot of people have these plants in their houses.
They
like
do. I was going to ask, is this something that I could own?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Wait, what? What does it look like?
I'm saying it doesn't have a warning label on it. Like, might cause you to break out in zits?
Yeah.
Yeah, then you got to be careful with plants you buy at greenhouses because they're toxic to dogs and cats, too. And
yeah, like, I'm not worried about my cat. Poinsettias, are they one of the poisonous to cats, right?
They're poisonous, yeah.
Any flower I've ever bought home has been poisonous for somebody. I've never won that one. You know, it's like, do you know what this can do to our dog or cat?
No. I only know poinsettias because every Christmas it's like, well, don't get them if they have a dog.
Cat, right.
And I always say, if your dog should stop eating plants.
Yeah.
You know, I'll try to be nice here.
Does your dog eat the Christmas tree, too?
Yeah, I'll try to be nice here and give you a goddamn flower.
I know, but I'm going to tell you how you did it wrong.
Yeah.
What if my cat gets it? Well, I'll get you another cat.
I don't like your cat.
That's why I brought it.
Yeah.
It's for the cat, not you.
Happy Merry Christmas to me. Cat gone.
What about my mistletoe belt buckle? Is he going to eat that?
Actually, we're going to run a special over at Pet Solutions.
Right, just all the poinsettias you can get.
Yeah, well, you know, you get 3 for $10 during the month of December.
Infection, disease, or illness, what did you have to deal with? 206-803-ROCK.
We drop them off, you call us 2 days later.
Hello, Becky. Welcome to the men's room.
Liquor and whores.
Liquor and whores.
So, Miles, I'm the one that just emailed you.
Oh, thank you, Becky. I'm going to save that email and print it all up because there's a lot of good stuff in there.
How long were you in Africa?
A little over 3 weeks.
Okay, and you actually did a safari as well?
Oh, we did too, yeah.
You did too?
We did a lot.
Was it an uncovered vehicle?
They're open. They have covers over the top, but the sides are open. They're old Land Rover Defenders.
And you just drive right up to the lion, don't you?
Pretty much, yeah.
Were
you nervous each time you did it, or did you feel that your nerves started dialing back as you did it more often?
Never nervous, just in awe.
Really?
Oh, see?
Okay, now, another quick question. We didn't get close to, like, a lion, elephant, rhino, whatever. How bad do they smell, man?
They don't.
Really?
They don't. You're out there in the middle of nowhere. These tours, these guys are so good. They are what make the tour, is your tour guide. They know the flora, the fauna, the animal, their hoof print, when they're running and when they're not. They know what animal is doing what, and I mean, we watched an alligator eat the hind end out of a dead water buffalo, and it was fascinating.
Well, wait, let me take my pants open.
So you're into that? No. Okay, but it sounds like
I want to see your porn history.
It sounds like if someone says hello to you, you got to give them $1.
Yeah. Right?
It's like, you know, like everything.
Well, you have to be very careful with eye contact. In South Africa, is very, very different. Cape Town was fabulous.
But are you talking about the animals or the people?
The people. Johannesburg, on the freeway, we went to see the Springboks play.
Oh, nice.
Argentina we had those tickets for I don't know how long.
Rugby.
Ted, I met you at the Black Raven. I'm the Sea Wolf. Sea Wolf fan.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, that makes sense. If you're watching rugby in South Africa.
Hey, Becky, are you coming up on Saturday for the porter potty? Party?
We will try, but we have England's play the Springboks at 8:10 in the morning, so we're going to watch.
Okay. All right.
But along the freeways, Johannesburg to Mombolo, they have signs that say, high crime area, don't get out of your car.
Cool. All right. Damn.
Yeah. And they tell you, and it is Johannesburg, the people at our little cool hotel, they would let us walk 2 blocks to the mall, but they wanted to know where we were.
But for your safety.
Town, yep. They don't want you walking around. There's a lot of people, a lot of muggings. But you know what? It didn't happen to us. People are always warning about crime anywhere you go.
That's true.
But I think if you look around and you look like you know what you're doing and you're aware, I didn't wear my wedding rings. I didn't wear jewelry. We went casual. It was. We took 2 years to plan it. It was worth every.
It also helps. And I mean, it does not matter where you travel. I believe this to be true. A guy in Baltimore told me this years ago. Look crazy. Nobody messes with a crazy person. And I think I cannot do his exact quote. It was very funny. He wasn't trying to be funny. But the general message that he sent to me was this. Like, listen, brother. If people think you're crazy, they won't mess with you. Because one thing that people think crazy people will do is bite them. Just people aren't scared to get punched, stabbed, shot. If you think someone's going to bite you, you're like, I'm not dealing with it.
I think walking speed, too, right? You don't want to just be like looking around.
Right.
But also, I feel like if you're walking too fast, it looks like you're obviously scared to be in that area.
But talk to yourself. If you're walking too fast, talk to yourself out loud at the same time. That plays to the crazy thing. Mm-hmm. If you're muttering under your breath.
Well, I knew you're not supposed to look the animals in the eye. I didn't know the people.
Yeah, so what did you discover about the animals while you're out there? You said you're in awe and all that kind of thing. Like, what is the closest you got
to an
animal?
Oh, geez, arm length. Because those elephants are right next to you. And some of the springboks, kudus, the baboons. God, I love baboons.
What?
And, you know, love them. They call them bandits, and they are into everything, and they're mischievous, and they will take people's phones, and you have to give them food to give it back. And I'm sorry, I just think it's hilarious.
Miles doesn't look too pleased.
This whole thing is I'm having second thoughts. Jesus.
I did call in because I got food poisoning to Miles, as everyone's going to get it. I mean, not Miles, but Ted. Yes, I got food poisoning at a chicken restaurant. Everybody had the same, Mark and I and the driver, my husband, had the same thing, but I ordered the sauce. It was the wettest and coldest September in this tent in the middle, like 5 hours out of the second largest city. There's toilet is with bamboo and stuff around it inside your tent. They got about 6 to 8 inches of covers on it.
You can't flush that and toilet paper either, can you?
Toilet, because there's no lights in there. So I missed the toilet. I'm throwing up. I felt horrible. But you get up the next day, and most of it's gone because the ants and the bugs just...
Yeah. Oh, they take all your Duke, huh?
Yeah.
The ants and the bugs haul it out.
So you don't need toilet paper, Miles?
They can just eat it right off my butt. Cross up. I mean, jeez, a whiz. Like the alligator did.
Yeah.
I don't want to do this now.
You do. Uh-huh. It is a trip of a lifetime. The people make it. The people were all amazing.
Just as long as you don't look at them.
Just don't look at them.
You know, they share with you. They're polite. They're funny. They have it. They do. They are the happiest people with so little. It makes you just rethink your whole life.
Yeah.
I've heard that multiple times.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
My daughter has not told me any of this. You know, I mean, she's in Namibia, but still, I mean, I haven't heard.
If you get a chance, go to Chobe.
What is Chobe?
And the Kavenga, I think it's Kavenga. It's where Namibia, Zambia, Zimbabwe, and Botswana meet, and it's a delta. And you take a river cruise, and you literally the crocodiles are right there in front of you.
I don't want that.
This is not a sales pitch right now.
The whole
and then you get herpes.
Right.
Like, what else are you going to say? I mean, like, geez, Liz. You come back without a limb, and I mean, I don't want to hang out with crocodiles. That's just not.
You get to see them, though, and they're amazing. And the birds and the elephants cross right in front of you. All this whole herd.
Birds are good.
Yeah, he's my Gilbert bird so far.
Bird's
that's
okay.
It.
Giraffes, zebras, springboks,
and baboons.
Baboons.
How close do these baboons get to you, man? I don't trust primates.
They'll come up and snatch stuff. I think they're funny.
Well, I'm going to tweak their nipple then if they're like that. There you go. Give them a nurple. You know what I mean?
give you one back.
Exactly. Infection, disease, or illness, what did you have to deal with? 206-803-ROCK.
How are you feeling about that?
I appreciate the email, though.
I mean, look, she's sounding fascinated. I understand it's fascinating because she survived. But there's something about the idea of how close you get to a lion. Oh, arm's length.
I got the runs and I had to poop in a, you know, no.
It sounds like the safari safer than
the people.
Than traveling around a
don't
bit,
go anywhere city. In Cape Town. You know, like, that's the big city.
If we have a show in 2025, it'll be amazing.
Jesus Christ, man.
Throw that. I've done them before.
You're going to pay for this? They should pay
we'll
you.
We'll be good. We'll be good.
They should pay you.
All right.
You know?
God. I mean, look, it does sound fascinating. It also sounds terrifying. Because I'm like, hey, there's no top. She's like, well, there's a top. There's just no sides. Okay. Same thing to me.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing. Is there an opening large enough for an animal to snatch me out? Because, like, look, you don't know the mood of the lion.
Right.
Well, and he's arm's length.
Like anything else. I'm just
but again, only an average of 2 people die on these a year.
How do you know this?
Well, I've been looking it up.
Oh.
How many died this year?
How do they die?
Tell me one.
Well, one person just had a medical emergency. Somebody else did.
They got within a foot of a lion or
somebody else did have an encounter with an animal.
Did they say what animal?
I can't remember. We were looking it up last week when we were talking about Miles.
So there's one. Uh-huh. All right, man. You got to round it out, apparently.
I'm going to look and see who looks the tastiest, and then I'm going to let them sit on the outside.
Yeah, maybe that's the move.
You know, he's like, if I got to eat somebody, kind of like one of those things, airplane crash, the top mount. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do the same thing in that van.
I got you, man.
Yeah.
I'm right there with you.
He's going to eat him.
You look
I
tasty.
I think all December long, we should have a special segment where we talk about safaris.
And all the terrible
animals.
Things around it.
Yeah.
You know there's a laundry list.
There probably is.
I mean, there's probably one story.
It's not just that animals will attack you. I think the research is, what do they do? Okay? Because a lion, from the few clips I've seen of a lion attacking a person, the problem is they don't just kill them. You know, they grab them by the neck like a tiger, and then they drag you somewhere.
Yeah, they run off with
then them. But you're still alive when they're running away with your body. That sucks. Yeah. At least with an elephant, like, first shot, it's done.
Right.
Hopefully.
And they drag you off by your head. They don't drag you off by... They don't, like,
yeah,
grab,
by the
they don't grab your leg.
Never the leg, never the arm.
Cats are instinctual. That's how they pick up their young.
Mm-hmm.
Nape of the neck, head.
And you got a big dome.
You're out.
They're going for that, man.
Just grabbing the
you
nose.
Look like a blow pop. They're going to be like, oh, I'm grabbing that sucker by the head.
I don't want baboons stealing my crap. Then I got to negotiate with food to get my phone back. Like, no, a couple more dollars. You know, like I said, it's a 5 spot. What do you want?
Yeah, what do you give a baboon? You got to give him food?
Right.
What food do you have that the baboon does not have access to?
And how does
to?
He Wait. Know? You give me the phone back, I'll give you this banana. You know, like, how in the hell do they know?
Now he has a banana and a phone.
Now he's putting up 2 fingers. All right, you want 2 bananas. All right. 3 bananas, dude? Never negotiated with a baboon.
And my shirt?
To get my crap back.
Really good.
Infection, disease, or illness. What did you have to deal with? 206-803-ROCK.
99.9 KISW. The Men's Room returns with Miles and Thrill.
Who sucks less? On the way at 4:30, right after emails and our question, infection, disease, or illness. What did you have to deal with? 206-803-ROCK.
One quick text, Miles. Everyone's making you paranoid about the African
no,
trip.
No, surely not.
Well, no. This one says, my brother and I, we had a leopard walk right up next to us in central Nairobi. Made eye contact. There was no problem. For the leopard.
Hey, I had a house cat that tore me up. I mean, come on.
And you're looking at all these pictures. Leopards, much bigger than I thought they
yes,
were.
Yes, they are.
Considerably bigger than I thought they
no
were.
No idea.
Yeah, you'll find out.
Great.
Hello, Carl. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
What's up?
How are you, Carl?
I'm doing good. How about you guys?
We're doing okay.
I'm great.
Yeah, I feel wonderful.
Right on.
Mm-hmm.
So, 2 years ago, I'm a guy of a certain age. I'll be 61 in January. About 2 years ago, I came home from work, little bit maybe inebriated and sat down on the couch to argue with the old lady and woke up a month and a half later at UW Medical Center.
A month and a half later.
A month and a half later. And I was chained to the center of this bed. I guess I was in a COVID wing. And yeah, it was a trip.
Is that what you got? You got COVID?
No. What happened was I've never turned down a chance to party. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
I mean, when I was 14, my parents moved to Redondo Beach, took me with them. I was a transplant from Washington in the heart of L.A., basically. And I never met anybody that I never would party with, put it that way.
Okay.
Okay.
So they tell me that I ruptured the side of my heart, my aortic chamber. I don't have any recollection of it. I had no pain whatsoever. I got the scars where they cracked my chest open to prove it. I mean, it was, I don't know what happened.
What did your wife say that happened, you know?
Like during the argument.
Yeah, I mean, did you just pass out? Did you fall down walking?
We were never arguing, but that's, you know. I remember.
Did she hit you over the head with a broom? Right. I mean, anything that happened?
I was on the couch, and she was, you know, where you been? What are you doing? And I was just, you know, whatever. Yeah, okay, I got to go. I got chores to do, animals to feed. And the next thing I know, I woke up, and I guess they had to chain me to the bed because I kept trying to get up and go to work.
Okay.
All right. And While you were in a coma?
I guess they must have put medically induced a coma.
All right, to shut you up.
Settled.
Okay, all right.
They basically cracked me open, repaired the rupture in my heart, and left. I didn't have COVID before this happened, but evidently the fire department took me to Olympia, to St. Peter's, which is where I got the COVID from. And then a helicopter ride to UW, which I never got any scenery or nothing.
No, that sucks. Your only helicopter ride, you don't remember it.
Right. I still had to pay for it, but...
Of course.
Yeah, how cheap was that, by the way? Was that $100?
It was about $23,000, I believe.
All right.
Damn.
Not as bad.
$23,000. Think of that, man. Just Uber my ass or something, you know.
I bet you could buy a damn helicopter for $23,000.
Like $23,000.
Like a little crop duster, one of those little tiny.
Something, man. Like, you don't even want like a single engine Cessna.
It's like I could buy a
call my buddy.
I'll buy a decent used car. Infection, disease, or illness, what did you have to deal with? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Jason. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, gentlemen.
Hola.
All right, so check this out. It was 2009, and I was in Iraq. I ended up having my appendix almost ruptured. I didn't know it at the time. So I get up in the morning, I thought I had gas. My stomach hurt, and I tried to get up and, you know, go do my daily duties, and I'm getting ready to give a mission brief, and Sergeant Major goes, hey, what's wrong with you, Wagner? And I'm like, oh, you know, Sergeant Major, I don't know, I can't stand up. So he told me to get in the van, so I got in the van. We went to the kind of like a MASH tent at an Army hospital, and before I know it, I got two IVs in my arm, and they knocked me out, and I wake up, and they say your appendix was about to blow. So I had my appendix taken out in a tent while I was in Iraq.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow.
It was fun.
That's ideal.
So the only way to know there's anything, as best I can tell, the only way to know there's something wrong with your appendix is when something goes wrong with your appendix, right?
Correct.
Pretty much, yeah.
There's no other telltale signs. It's just...
But if you didn't get in here right away, you would have died.
You would have died, yeah,
I mean,
sure.
So you got to identify it really. I've never heard anybody say, well, you know, you could hang out for, you know, 2 or 3 weeks.
But it seems... Also, everybody I know that's had one, it seems like it's like... it's kind of a pain or whatever. Yeah. And then it's like a day later, it's like, oh my God, something's
crippling
really
pain. Right. Yeah. But like there's no other warning sign, which kind of sucks.
You think maybe it's a hernia or maybe you have a stomach ache or...
You probably just don't think your appendix first.
No.
Right? I mean,
because
I'm not
until,
even sure.
Because until
where
it happens, it? How would you know?
Is it in this general area?
I don't know.
That's the thing. Is it on the left side or the right side?
Again, I don't know.
It's got to be on the right side, right? So I feel like the left side's like your liver and one of your kidneys.
You know what? I'm going to Google that. Where is my appendix? Where is my You going left or right, Ted?
I'm going right.
I'm going left side.
I'm going right in the middle.
Towards the back.
I'm going in the middle.
Okay. The appendix is typically located in the lower right quadrant of the abdomen, approximately halfway between the belly button and the hip bone. On the right side. Okay, now I know where it is.
So it's your belt line, essentially, on the right.
Yeah, on the right side.
Okay.
So now I know.
I'm worried, man.
What are you worried about?
Because I still have an appendix and tonsils.
Mm-hmm. The two things that, you can live without them.
I got both of those. Yeah.
I got them.
Oh, all right. I felt like everybody had the tonsils gone.
No.
A lot of kids said, what did you have to get for your tonsils? Because I'm 80% of the kids.
Can't you get tonsillitis?
Maybe that's what it is, tonsillitis. And then they take them out.
Well, it's like wisdom teeth, right?
Yeah.
Like, eventually, you got to get them taken out.
If they're still growing. Because I want to say I have two that are still in my jaw. But the dentist is like, look, in the years that you've been coming here and we do the x-rays, they haven't moved. So you probably don't need to worry about it because they're not making an effort to grow.
I just like to go to my doctor and be like, hey, man, just schedule a surgery. Get the extra stuff out.
The stuff I don't need that only causes problems, get rid of take the appendix, it out of my body.
Right, get rid of the tonsils. No surprises.
My goal, to lose 5 pounds. Yeah. Are you taking stuff out of my body? Infection, disease, or illness, what did you have to deal with? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Chris. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, fellas.
Hola.
So I learned the hard way that when the doctor tells you something, you probably should follow that advice.
And what advice did you ignore?
Well, he said to take it easy. I had knee surgery. Said, all right, had knee surgery Friday evening. Monday, I went out and walked 11 miles at work. Tuesday, I walked 10 miles. Wednesday, I walked another 9.5. Thursday, I couldn't even put shorts on. My knee was so swollen that, like, it wouldn't even fit in shorts. And couldn't sleep. And I don't know if you've ever been in so much pain you can't sleep, but it's a whole different feeling.
It's awful.
Yeah. I was crying. My wife had to carry me into the damn doctor's office. And this little very good-looking nurse decided, she said, I'm going to milk your knee. And I looked at her, and I'm like, milk my knee. That's different.
That's a different euphemism.
Yeah.
Hey.
I could have married her if I wasn't married already. When she got done milking my knee, they took 6 of the big syringes of fluid out of my knee.
Was that from, did your bursa sacs blow, all 4 of them?
No, it was just infection. I just pissed my knee off because they said to take it easy, and I just didn't do it.
Oh, so it was just kind of, you know, pussy and stuff.
Yeah. And so he said, all right, I want you in the ER tomorrow. Showed up to the ER. He didn't tell me he was keeping me. And I spent 4 days because he knew I didn't take it easy. So went in, they did surgery to clean it all out and came out. And they're like, yeah, we're keeping you for 4 days to make sure you take it easy.
Okay.
So, yeah, I was $93,000 later.
What, $93,000?
Yep.
You know, at that point, they should just include the helicopter.
What
ride.
Was your deductible?
Yeah. 92?
Yeah, 92.5.
I think it was like $8,300 after everything was said and done.
All right, so that was your out-of-pocket expense.
Yes.
Okay. Yep.
Good Lord, man. $93,000.
Another thing, you guys are talking about ticks and stuff. My mom was the first case of Lyme disease in this state.
Oh, wow. All right. There you go. Did you get a plaque for that?
Yeah. She got both of her hips, both of her knees, 6 vertebrae all were replaced by the time she passed away, and she had both of her wrists had been broken and reset like 3 times.
And all of that's from the Lyme disease?
Well, so she got Lyme's disease, which is an inflammation of fluid in the joints, and then she got rheumatoid arthritis, which is a hardening of all the fluid in the joints.
God.
So,
okay, right. Yeah, so one just made the other one worse.
Yeah, in Washington, I don't know if you guys know, but it's kind of wet here, so not a real good place
Is that kind of like osteoporosis? Is it the same kind of thing, but her bones just keep breaking?
No. So with arthritis, it just starts, all the fluid in your joints starts hardening and turning into like hard calcium. So, like, her knees and stuff, they wouldn't even bend. They had to go in, and they, like I said, when you looked at an x-ray of her thigh, there was about 2 inches in the middle where there wasn't a steel rod running up her leg from her hip replacement and from her knee replacement.
God, man.
How long did she live?
She was 56 when she passed away. She actually just passed away, like, 6 years ago.
Okay, that's young.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Yeah, that's brutal.
How long did she have Lyme's disease?
So she had Lyme disease for 2 years before they figured out what it was.
Right. And yep. being the first case, too. And that's even typical when you're in an area where Lyme disease is prevalent.
Right. They still don't
know. They still don't know what you have.
Yeah. So I was in her. She actually got pregnant with me, and I was in her stomach when she had Lyme disease. So they actually studied me for the longest time. I'm 40 and I have arthritis already. And they say that could be the onset of, you know, her being pregnant with Lyme disease and me being in there because we're sharing blood, we're sharing right. all that stuff.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
they studied her body at University of Washington when she passed away. They hauled her up there for like 2 months and then studied her body before everything. So
are you allowed to visit? You know, I mean, I know she's passed on.
Right, when they're doing that stuff.
If they got her for 2 months, I mean, you still allowed to go up there and say hi to mom or anything like that?
No. Okay. No.
Yeah. So, that's crazy.
Damn,
56
man.
Is, that's
brutal.
That's brutal.
Yeah, man.
Infection, disease, or illness, what did you have to deal with? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Amanda. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bicholas.
Hola.
All right, guys, I got a fun one here.
They've all been fun.
I grew up. This is a lot of fun. It's going to silence of the lambs, yeah. I grew up having epilepsy. And so as a kid, I'd have seizures. As a young adult, I was having seizures like every 30 minutes or whatnot.
Jeez, so, that's a lot.
It was a bad quality of life, I'll put it that way. So they decided in 2001 that my neurologist team decided that I was a candidate for something called brain mapping. And basically brain mapping is doing a craniectomy. They take your cranium off your head and they stick a grid on top of your brain so that they can locate the focal point of the seizure.
I've heard of that, but I've never heard of any. I've never spoken to a person that has done
it. And then what do they do when they find it?
So then, depending on the focal point, they can dig at it and, you know, take some out. Or they'll find out that area is going to, you know, if they dig at it, take it out, it's going to have bad repercussions. So we'll just have to leave it at that.
All right. And so, what did they determine with you?
Well, I'm going to give you that in just a second. But the thing is that during the process, you know, it's fairly new back then. So they had to test me and make sure that I was a, you know, proper candidate to put the grid on top of my brain. So I can sit here and tell you gentlemen that I have seen my brain. I asked to take some pictures. I wanted pictures of it. I was a kid. I was like, oh, that's so cool, right? So that's one thing I say to people. And then also, when they were testing, they were doing things like getting a saline solution or water pressure, or they'd have like these thick sponges and they'd press or pick at areas in my brain.
Now, does that trigger a seizure? That's how they find it? Is that what they're... Are they trying to give you a seizure?
They tried to give me the seizure throughout the process, but I believe the reason why they were picking at the brain is because, like, say, in the grid somewhere, that's an area that the seizure could potentially be. They were pushing and picking at it to see where it affected me. So, for instance, mine were in the front, like they had on my left side of my brain. So they were pushing on things on my left side of my brain and my fingers in my right hand were like bouncing up and down. And then, or like my lip would drop down or my eye would squint. Only my right eye was squinting. They had a process where they were like, "Hey, read this sentence." And for instance, the sentence could say, "The dog is brown," and I'd sit there reading it like the dog, and it was just crazy. So they were like pushing on my brain, doing that bit while I was doing these things, and my right side of my body was going nuts. It was just insane. So that was amazing within itself. Seeing my brain was amazing within itself. And then you had the question, like, what was the process of that? They did. I ended up getting the grid on my brain, but the problem was is that I wasn't coming to. Like, after they put the grid on my brain, they also put my cranium back on top.
That's kind of them, like, to do. I like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. I played the game.
Great game.
Mm-hmm. However, what happened is that I did find out that my brain is a normal size. My cranium is abnormally small. And the way they found that out was they put my cranium on top of the grid, and then I wasn't coming to. I didn't wake up for like 3 weeks.
Jeez.
So then family members had to make a decision for me, and the decision was that they're going to put my cranium, instead of on top of my head where it belongs, they're going to stick it in my gut, in my belly. And
why?
They do that because the nutrients in your belly is fatty tissue, and it will keep your cranium alive.
But how does that, does it make it bigger to stick back on top of your head?
No. No, they'll, at the end of everything, they'll put it back on, they put it back on my head without the grid.
So it's like an Airbnb.
Oh, okay.
Stomach.
So they took the grid off, right. Put your cranium back on. But the goal was to have the netting or whatever on your brain with the cranium reattached, right?
They just did the grid part for testing to see if they could find the focal point. And then they were going to take it off anyway. But the funnest part of the whole thing, it was really a trip, was waking up 3 weeks after the surgery to my whole family surrounding me. And, you know, my thought going in was, okay, I'll have a bandage on my head. Oh, no. I had a bandage on my stomach, and I was awake. I was in the hospital for 3 months. And you know the scene in the movie Spaceballs where the alien comes out of the belly?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I woke up to this hard thing in my stomach. And, I mean, that's just a weird thing. You're going in for your head, and you have all this wrapping and all this stuff going on with your gut, and it's hard as a rock.
Do you,
in your belly.
I'm assuming they shaved your head for all this, right?
Oh, yeah. They did.
And when they put the cranium back on after that, it spent time in your stomach, when your hair started to grow back, did it grow back in all the areas where they cut and opened you up and all that stuff?
So I have little areas. So this scar is literally from the back of my left ear all the way to my forehead. And it looks a little deformed, like if you look at me close. As far as the hair goes, I have these grooves in my head, like, you know, where they reattached me. And I didn't know this until my boyfriend just told me, but he said there's some little areas that are bald. There's not a lot of hair, but I have a full thick head of hair. So, I mean, the hair did grow back. My cranium, it gets itchy, you know, so I kind of scratch it, and the little grooves that I have, it's really... It's kind of cool.
And
the little area that's on my belly, I call it my shark bite.
I'm so confused why he was checking out the top of your head.
Yeah. You know, baby. I mean, don't stop doing
what
you're doing, but
there's
a bald spot back there.
Here.
There's grooves.
That is an amazing story, man.
I don't want to interrupt, but...
I just keep picturing her head looking like the old football helmet.
I was too. Right, I picture look kind of Frankenstein-y.
She's got hair, so I'm like, we can laugh about it now, but yeah.
I mean, she seemed real upbeat about the whole process, you know.
That was quite the question.
Yeah.
Who Sucks Less is on the way at 4:30 right after emails from the men's room at KISW.com.